Grace, mercy, and peace are yours from God our Father, our Lord, and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. A portion of God's word for our consideration on this Christmas Eve is taken from our first lesson, Isaiah chapter 9. Let's begin with prayer. O Lord, open my lips, that my mouth may declare your praise. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Sanctify them by the truth. Your word is truth. Amen. What do you think it is that moves people to put up lights at Christmas time? Is it simply a tradition? Is it just something that breaks up the monotony of everyday life? Is it just because they're pretty? Or is there something deeper there? Is there something more? Could it be possible that our society, deep down, recognizes that this world is a dark place, and they're somehow trying to alleviate that with the lights? Now, maybe that sounds a little extreme. Maybe we could say that the world is certainly flawed, but not a dark place, not certainly a pitch black place. And yet, I think Isaiah would disagree with us. Isaiah describes the world we live in as the land of the shadow of death. Is it really that bad? Well, when Isaiah was writing, things were about as bad as they could possibly be in the land of Judah. Judah was indeed a very dark place. As you read through Isaiah's book, there is just a catalog of things that the Lord God railed against. People didn't care about each other anymore. And their relationships were described as neighbor against neighbor. Substance abuse was rampant, as the children of Israel were described as heroes at drinking wine. Sexual immorality was widespread. The country was full of the poor, and yet there was no mercy, there was no compassion for them, there was no respect for the elderly. Instead, they were mocked. People were leaving the true religion and turning to the occult. Seems that the more things change, the more they stay the same. Do we not see abhorrent violence in the terrorism in our country? Do we not see the collapse of the family and the embrace of an anything-goes kind of mentality when it comes to sexuality? Do we not see neighbors turning on neighbors for any reason under the sun, including simply belonging to the wrong political party? Is it really that bad? For Isaiah, it was so bad that the regular word for darkness wasn't strong enough. No, Isaiah says that this is a deep darkness, a land that is covered in the shadow of death kind of darkness. The inevitability of death casts a shadow, a gloom over everything. Indeed, the world is that bad. The world is a dark place. And naturally, we want to try and fix it, don't we? We want to try and rid the world of things like violence and oppression and poverty and racism. All of those are noble objectives. However, we cannot drive out the darkness by ourselves, because that same darkness lives in us. And that sinful darkness is on display in the selfishness we show. The selfishness in our hearts, which incites confusion and suspicion in our relationships. We see that darkness in the pain that we cause others, even those that we claim to love. sin that lives inside of all of us darkens our thoughts, and it causes our hearts to desire even darker desires. My friends, we cannot stop this darkness on our own. We cannot stop ourselves from aging, no matter what product we take, no matter what medical innovations we come up with. We cannot stop the inevitable darkness of death. Certainly we live, as Isaiah said, in the land of the shadow of death. But that's not all he said. There is good news. The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. For those living in the land of the shadow of death, the light has dawned. Into this world filled with this death, darkness, a light has dawned. And this light is not something that we produced. It appeared. It dawned on us. And this light is not a program. It's not a policy. It isn't a movement. No, this light is a person. Specifically, a baby boy. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given. Yes, this light is a human being born from a human mother, but he's more than that. See, this light is also true God, as seen by the titles and the responsibilities given. Just look at how he's described. Wonderful counselor, unlike all other counselors, whose advice is darkened by the fact that they don't know everything. This counselor knows all things, and therefore he is wonderful. In fact, there's nothing that this child cannot do. He is called Mighty God. How odd for a child to be given the name Everlasting Father, and yet no truer title could be given. For Jesus is the author and source of life from everlasting to everlasting. He has the compassion of a father as he provides for and cares for his children. And this child, this baby, is the Prince of Peace. He is able to create perfect harmony between a God who hates the darkness of sin and the people who sin every day. This is the peace about which the angels sang on that first Christmas night. Peace and goodwill toward mankind, brought about by this newborn prince. The authority to rule will rest on his shoulders. All authority in heaven and on earth is given to this child. The light in the darkness is God in human flesh. Come to shine in our dark world. That is what we see in the manger. That is the one about whom the angels sang. And that's good news. It's the best possible news that we could hear, but there's still a lingering question, isn't there? Why? Why did this child, this light, need to be both God and man? It was all part of God's perfect plan to save us. You see, if God had simply wanted us to know how to talk about sin and darkness, he could have simply sent a prophet. That's what he did in the days of old. He sent men to tell the children of Israel what God wanted them to do, to give them his law. If God had simply wanted us to lead a bright life, well, then he could have sent an example of how to do that. He could have sent an angel. Around Christmas time, we see God regularly sending angels to his people, like he did when he sent Gabriel to Mary. And he could have pointed to Gabriel and he could have said, "Everyone, look at how compassionate and thoughtful Gabriel is. Look at how Gabriel always has the others, the thoughts of others and the needs of others before his own. Look at how Gabriel's sole focus in his life is to give me glory. Just live like Gabriel." But we needed more than that. We needed one who could snuff out the darkness. Normally we talk about snuffing out light. But we needed darkness, sin, and death, and all of its consequences to be snuffed out. And that light had to be both God and man. He had to be man so that he could live under the law and he could be sacrificed for our sins. That baby needed a human heart so that it could stop beating. That child needed blood in its veins so that it could be shed. And that light needed to be God so that he could live perfectly in our place. And so that the sacrifice that he would make on the cross on our behalf would be valuable enough to pay for the sins of every man, woman, and child who has ever lived. If Christmas is going to be more than just nostalgia, if it's going to be more than just lights and cookies and carols and tinsel, then we need to stop pretending that everything in this world is okay. We need to be illuminated. We need to see life and death as it really is. We desperately need this light. We so badly need a Savior. And that babe in Bethlehem is truly God and truly man, your Savior. That is what Jesus came to be. The angel said so. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born for you. We can't cleanse ourselves of sin. We can't overcome temptation. We can't fix our fractured relationships. We can't outrun death. But the light that has appeared in this death darkness can do all of those things. And he's done every single one of them for you. Isaiah says, you have multiplied the nation. You have increased its joy. They rejoice before you like the joy at harvest time, like the celebration when people divide the plunder. There will be no limit to his authority and no end to the peace he brings. He will rule on David's throne and over his kingdom to establish it and to uphold it with justice and righteousness from now on into eternity. The zeal of the Lord of armies will accomplish this. What our God has done for us in sending this light impacts what we do for others. The relationship that we have with God creates a relationship with one another. John wrote in our second lesson, if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. We were never meant to walk in this light alone. God created us to walk together, to be in a community with one another. We need each other. We need to gather together on nights like tonight to encourage one another, because the world that we live in is still filled with darkness. There are lights on a Christmas tree in my house tonight. And this year they happen to be white. I've always liked the white lights better, not ever really thinking about it, why. But I think I know now. The white lights shine the brightest. And those lights remind me of the great light, the light that shines in this death darkness. That light, Jesus our Savior, has dawned on all of us tonight. May we bask in the glow of his light. May we yearn for the gifts that he promises to bring, love and hope and peace and joy. May we celebrate his birth by leaving behind the darkness of sin and walking in the light of his life. May God grant us all a blessed Christmas. Amen.